Quinn peered out round the corner. His left eye had been boosted by an anomic cluster giving him infrared vision. It was his first implant, and he'd used it for exactly the same purpose back at the Arcology, to give him an edge in the dark. One thing Banneth had taught him was never fight until you've already won. The retinal implant showed him a ghostly red figure weaving unsteadily from side to side. Rain showed as a gritty pale pink mist. The buildings were claret-coloured crags. Quinn waited until the man had passed the gap before he moved. He slid out onto the path, the length of wood gripped tightly in his hand. And still the man was unaware of him, rain and blackness providing perfect cover. He took three paces, raised the improvised club, then slammed it down at the base of the man's neck. The cagoule's fabric tore under the impact. Quinn felt the blow reverberate all the way back up to his elbows, jarring his joints. God's brother! He didn't want the man dead. Not yet. His victim gave a single grunt of pain and collapsed forwards into the mud. Jackson, Quinn called. God's brother, where are you? I can't shift him by myself. Get a move on. Quinn, Christ, I can't see a bloody thing. He looked round, seeing Jackson emerge from behind the barrels. His skin shone a strong burgundy in the infrared spectrum, arteries and veins near the surface showing up as brighter scarlet lines. Over here. Walk forward three steps, then turn left. He guided Jackson up to the body, enjoying the sense of power. Jackson would follow his leadership, and the others would fall into line. Together they dragged their victim into the outhouse. Quinn guessed it had been some kind of office, abandoned years ago. Four bare wooden slat walls and a roof that leaked. Tapers of slime ran down the walls, fungal growths blooming from the cracks. There was a strong citric scent in the air. Overhead the clouds were drifting away inland. Beriana, the second moon, came out, shining a wan lemon light onto the city, and a few meagre beams filtered through the skylight. They were enough for Jackson to see by. Both of them went over to the pile of clothes they had left, heaped on a broken composite cargo pod. Quinn watched Jackson toweling himself dry. The lad had a strong body, broad shoulders. "Forget it, Quinn," Jackson said in a neutral voice, but one that carried in the silence following the rain. "I don't turn on to that. Strictly het, okay?" It came out like a challenge. "Hey, don't lose cool," Quinn said. "I got my eye on someone, and it ain't you." He wasn't entirely sure he could whip the lanky lad from a straight start. Besides, he needed Jackson, for now. He started to pull on the clothes which belonged to one of last night's victims, a green short-sleeved shirt and baggy blue shorts, waterproof boots which were only fractionally too large. Three pairs of socks stopped them from rubbing blisters. He was strongly tempted to take those boots upriver. He didn't like to think what would happen to his feet in the lightweight Ivet-issue shoes. "Right, let's see what we've got," he said. They stripped the cagoule from the unconscious man. He groaned weakly. His shorts were soiled, and a ribbon of piss ran out of the cagoule. "Definitely a new colonist," Quinn decided, as he wrinkled his nose up at the smell. The clothes were new, the boots were new, he was clean-shaven, and he had the slightly overweight appearance of an Arcology dweller. Locals were nearly always lean, and most sported longish hair and thick beards. His belt carried a fission blade knife, a miniature thermal inducer, and a personal MF fleck player block. Quinn unclipped the knife and the inducer. "We'll take those with us upriver. They'll come in useful."
"We'll be searched," Jackson said.
"Anything you like, we'll be searched. So, we stash them in the colonists' gear. We'll be the ones that load it onto the boat. We'll be the ones that unload it at the other end."
"Right."
Quinn thought he heard a grudging respect in the lad's voice. He started frisking the man's pockets, hoping the dampness in the fabric wasn't piss. There was a citizenship card naming their victim as Jerry Baker, a credit disc of Lalonde Frank's. Then he hit the jackpot.
"God's brother!"
He held up a Jovian Bank credit disc, holographic silver on one side, royal purple on the other.
"Will you look at this?"
Mr. Pioneer here wasn't going to take any chances in the hinterlands.